For those of you that don't know about it, I can't see to read anymore, so I don't even bother to carry a Bible. I told somebody I don't want to be a hypocrite. I act like I can read when I can. One time, back when I was a young man, there was an older brother speaking, and it was at a conference in Des Moines, Iowa. He was preaching the word, and he was talking about hypocrites. He was trying to think of an illustration of a hypocrite. Well, he was having a hard time. Finally, he grabbed that thing on his head and threw it on the floor. It was a wig. That's a hypocrite, he said. Trying to act like I have hair when I don't. Psalm 23, the journey home. Notice it says a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The journey home. I don't know when David wrote this psalm. He was a shepherd as a young man, keeping his father's sheep. That was before he was made king. I don't think he wrote it then. I think he wrote it after he had gone through many, many difficult experiences of life. When he was an old man. There's a depth of insight in this psalm that one does not acquire in school, whether it be Bible school or seminary or whatever it is. Yes, there's a depth of insight there that can only be acquired through the difficult and pleasant experiences of life. They aren't all difficult. I want to say right at the beginning and encourage you, though many of them, maybe most of them are, they're not all difficult. God gives us little special treats along the way. He really does care about us. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. That is, we want to follow him. If we want to trust him as our shepherd and then follow him. Let's think for a few moments about home. The journey home. Last verse says, surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's home. What is it that makes a home? Does a house make a home? Do the furnishings in the house make a home? No. What is it that makes a home? The people that live there. And so far as I can see, there is one person who is very special. She makes it home. I experienced this when we were in practice. My wife's mother was still living. She was sick at times, so she felt it necessary to go home to be with her for a few days to her home where her mother was. And when she was gone, it always seemed like that house was the most lonely place. I didn't like going back there. Well, my office was in our house. And so I had to go back after I got my calls made. I had to go back there and see whether there were any more or not. But it was, I never wanted to go back. It was too lonely. Meal time, there was no meal prepared. The kids had come from school or wherever. Some of them went with me, the younger ones. They'd have to go fix some fried eggs or something. Sandwiches, whatever we could happen to find. And I always told her when she came back, this isn't home when you aren't here. It takes you to make it home. I stopped to think a little bit. I was thinking about it during the night last night. When our girls were little, see, girls in those days wore dresses. They didn't wear pants. They'd run out of the door, exuberant, full of expectation, joyously. Maybe they were going out to play, maybe they were going to school, or to visit a neighbor or whatever. And then, sometimes they would stumble and fall. And we'd hear them cry and we'd run out to them. And there they were, piled in a heap, with their knees all skinned and bleeding, dirt and gravel and sand ground into those knees, and sometimes even the palms of their hands. Well, we'd pick them up and cuddle them, carry them inside, and clean up those wounds and dress them the best we could. But it hurt. It hurt. What if there'd been nobody there to go out and pick them up? It wouldn't have been home, would it? Moms, it takes you to make a home. A home for your wife, a husband, a home for your children. Oh, but when they get to be teenagers, they don't need mom anymore, do they? Yes, they do. Dorothy used to say they need me more then than they did when they were little. I could hire somebody to take care of them when they were little, though she never would do it. She loved them so much. One day, Paul was coming home from school. He was in junior high. About ninth grade, I guess. It was a pretty rough school. He was late getting home that day. Dorothy was looking out the window, stepping out on the porch to see if she could see him and wondered what had happened to him. And pretty soon she saw him coming down the lane uncertainly, his clothes all torn, He was all dirty. He was bruised and bleeding. She ran out to him and said, "What happened to you?" Well, he says, "I don't know for sure, but I recall that there was a gang of guys attacked me." Now, mind you, that was a long time ago. That was like 35 years ago or more. That a gang of guys attacked me and beat me up, and I guess they knocked me out because when I woke up, they were all gone. There was nobody there. What if she hadn't been there? You see what I mean when I say it takes a mom to make a home? Oh, moms, what a privilege is yours. You have the most important job in the whole world. You have the most rewarding job in all the world. And it's the hardest. I'm convinced of that. Dads have a responsibility too. Their job is to go out and earn the living. To provide for their family, to protect their family, and on and on. But that isn't really what I wanted to get into today. That's an aside, a little sidelight. In connection with home. Who is it that makes heaven home? I have lots of people in heaven. Lots of people that have left the city of destruction and gone to the celestial city. Courtesy of John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. Is it my wife that makes heaven home? No. She did when she was here on earth. Who is it that makes heaven home now? The Lord Jesus Christ. My shepherd. The one that I'm following on my journey home. There was never a mom more loving than the Lord Jesus is. Maybe I should say, there was never a mom as loving as the Lord Jesus. Or a dad. He's wonderful. Let's just think about this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Let me ask you, who's your shepherd? Oh, I don't have a shepherd. I paddle my own canoe. Really? Really? There's somebody that you're following, or something that you're following, isn't there? The Lord is my shepherd. You can emphasize all those words. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. If you're trusting Him, if He saves you by His grace, He is your shepherd. You can say so for sure. The Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that leads me. Because in the Middle East, where these words were written, shepherd does not drive his sheep. The shepherd leads his sheep. And this shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, leads his sheep. He doesn't drive us. He's not a cruel taskmaster. He feeds us gently as he is able. He tends his flock like a shepherd. That means he takes care of his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He gently leads those that are with young. Is that a lovely picture? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest in your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Even though it seems so heavy to us at times, he says, I shall not want. That doesn't mean want as we usually use it. You go to Walmart and the little kids say, I want this. Mommy, I want that. That isn't what it means. That word means I have everything I need. I do not lack anything. Substitute the word lack as a synonym. I shall not lack. He takes care of the essentials. He never promised to meet our wants, as we use the word today. He promised to meet our needs. And sometimes we get an overinflated opinion of our needs. Takes care of what we need. We can trust him. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, lush, green, nutritious pastures. What a pleasant place. The lush, green pastures of the Holy Scriptures. The Bible, the Word of God. And why does it say he makes me lie down in green pastures? I would think it would say he makes me feed on the green pastures. You don't have to tell sheep to feed on the green pastures. What they need is a nice, quiet, cool place to lie down after they have grazed. Because they're ruminants. And they have to regurgitate boluses of that which they've eaten rapidly and chew it all real fine, swallow it again, mix the saliva, and it grows to the true stomach and is absorbed and assimilated into the body for nutrition. You see, what we need today is not more intellectual knowledge of the Bible. I think in this country we've got too much knowledge already. What do we need then? Well, I think of three things that should be our goals. One, devotion to the Lord. Two, godliness in life and thought. Three, obedience to the Word. Devotion, godliness, obedience. Isn't that what we need? How much of our individual lives are spent in devotion to the Lord? Are we really godly in life and thought? Our thoughts are so important. A man is not what he thinks he is, but what he thinks. He is. Lord said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, and so on. And Solomon said, my son, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'm speaking to us as individuals today. Oh, that we had more devotion to our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody ever loved you like He loves you. Nobody ever cared for you like He does. Is that true? And godliness. You know what godliness is? Well, if you don't, you better find out. Godliness is life. Our everyday life. Not just when we come to meetings. Not just when we go to work. Not just when we go to school. How about at home? And godliness and thought. And then, obedience to the word. So we need to turn to the Holy Scriptures. Read a portion. I'm not saying how long or short it should be. That's up to you. You better not start the day without something from the word. Otherwise, you're not prepared for the day. Then you need to take time to think about it. When I used to be able to see, I would take my Bible, and I wore out a lot of Bibles. But whenever I read, I would have pencil or highlight pen or something. And anything that stood out in that passage I was reading, I marked it, I underlined, I highlighted it. Then when I had read the portion, I could go back and look at those things that stood out. Those things that the Spirit of God brought to my mind as important things in that chapter. And I could think about them. That's what we need. Those things from the Word that will help us in our devotion to the Lord and our godliness in life and thought and our obedience to the Word. Still waters, the waters of quietness. Take time to get quiet before God. So that He can speak to your heart. But all the noise of this world is difficult today. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off all the blare and chatter. Get where it's quiet. Let Him speak to you. And the gracious, gentle Holy Spirit of God will take these words from the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and will instruct your heart in the things that you so much need. So next, what does it say? He restores my soul. Because you see, I need restoration. My soul needs restoration. My whole person needs restoration. Not once in a while, but very, very frequently. Just like our little girls that ran out to play, they stumbled sometimes and fell. and I've stumbled and fallen many times. And I've got hurt, and I've hurt other people sometimes. Too often. And then there's another thing that happens. The shepherd is leading the sheep. And there are always certain sheep that are close to him. And there are others that straying behind, farther and farther behind. So the shepherd has to stop and restore those that are lagging behind. Are you one of those ones that's lagging behind the shepherd? You're not very close to him right now? Let him restore you. Get close to him and keep close to him. It's the only safe place. If we relax for a moment and don't keep our eye on him, we'll start lagging behind. And that's dangerous to get away from the shepherd. There are all kinds of fierce wild animals ready to take one of the flock or more. We have enemies in this world. David talks about that a little farther down. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let's keep close to him. Let's let him restore us. And of course, if you have sinned, something that your conscience is telling you that isn't right, 1 John 1:9 is for believers. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he leads me in the path of righteousness. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. David often prayed that the Lord would teach him his way and lead him in his paths. He did that in Psalm 25. Couple songs away. He says, teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in your paths. Those are the right paths. Those are the safe paths. But I get scared sometimes along the way. So David said, I think it's an old man. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He's talking to the shepherd. You are with me. Let me suggest to you that all of life is the valley of the shadow of death. It's full of deep, dark, trying, scary valleys. Curly was talking about that this morning and had a singing about it. There are many scary things in life. Deep, dark valleys. And let me say to you that the older you get, the harder it gets. The deeper and the darker the valleys it seems. Don't think it's going to get easy when you get old. It just keeps getting harder. And the enemies attack you when you're weak and faltering. And were it not for the shepherd, there'd be no hope for you and me. The shepherd sees to it that we're okay. For he is with us. yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, says the shadow of death. Now there'll come a day when we'll have to experience physical death. The Lord hasn't caught his people home to heaven before that. Up to now, everybody's had to experience physical death in the history of man, except two people. Enoch, who walked with God and had this testimony that he pleased God, and Elijah, that prophet, of which the scriptures say so much. Everybody else has had to go through death. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. If the Lord comes today for his own, we hear the shout, oh, we'll go into his presence. If we belong to him. I'd like to tell you more stories, but I have to resist the temptation because time's almost gone. The rod and your staff, a couple of years. I think of the rod of protection and the rod of correction. The shepherd carried a stick, maybe he made so long, and it was a heavy, hard wood stick. And he learned to handle that stick in a way that's very clever. He learned to throw it great distances and accurately. Probably that's what David did with the lion and the bear when they came to steal some of the flock. I would guess that the first thing he did was throw that rod and hit that lion in the head and knock it out, and then he could go finish off the lion. The same with the bear. He had practiced thousands and thousands of times. For the shepherd has the rod of protection to protect us. It's very effective in his hands. And it's also a rod of correction because we do need correction. Sometimes we insist on straying away from him, getting into things we ought not to get into. Sometimes he has to use the rod on us. Read Hebrews chapter 12 to read it out. And then there's the staff, which I think of as also as protection, but I think of it more as a comfort, as something that the shepherd uses to take care of us, to help us. I don't want to go into more detail. Think of it as the scriptures. They're our rod and they're our staff. There we find the Lord's protection, the Lord's correction, the Lord's comfort and encouragement. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What's a table for? Fellowship. Nutrition, provision. Remember that David said to Mephibosheth, you come, that man that was heavy paralyzed from the waist down, you come and sit at my table the rest of your life. The poor man, did he even let him go to bed? We know what he meant. I'll take care of you the rest of your life. And I always like to, when I go to a home, I always like for us to sit down around the table, and that's why I like mealtime. Especially nice for family times, aren't they? to sit around the table and have fellowship, encourage one another, tell what's happened today, share things, good and bad, good and fine. The Lord does provide for us in the midst of our enemies. You know who I've found to be my worst enemy? Roger Cocky. I'm my worst enemy. Watch out for that old self. It causes you lots of problems, even when you get to be in your 80s. You anoint my head with oil. The anointing of the Holy Spirit of God for special service. David was anointed with oil as to be the king of Israel. That word is used many times that way. It's used in other ways as well. I don't have time to try to go into them. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. God does not ask us to do anything that He does not equip us to do. If God has a job for you, He will enable you to do it. If you trust Him and put forth the energy to do it, my cup runs over. Oh, when we're close to the shepherd and all is right between us and the Lord, we're walking in His paths and sitting with Him at the table, communing and fellowshipping with Him. My cup runs over. And David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the New American Standard translates that, surely goodness and loving kindness. And I like that. That describes the meaning of the word, loving kindness. It describes the nature of our God, of our Lord Jesus, our shepherd, doesn't it? Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow us all the days of our life, no matter how difficult they may become. My wife went through some very difficult things before she died of cancer. It seemed like the closer home to heaven she got. The less she was aware of what was going on around her. I saw her say goodbye to friends that came in to see her. I saw her say goodbye to her grandchildren that came to see her. She never said goodbye to me. She didn't even wave at me. I think that she must have already had a glimpse of glory. And she just slipped into her. Home. Oh, what will it mean to be home? May the Lord give us a longing for home. The longing to be close to Him while we're here in this world for His name's sake. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are our shepherd. We want to keep close to You. We want to trust You implicitly. And we do want you to correct us when we need to be corrected, and to instruct us when we need to be instructed, and to take care of us when we need that special care. It's all that you can give. Help us to just follow you all the days of our life until you take us into your presence for your name's sake.